All right, today we will continue our survey of Galatians. We are on chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3. And today we'll deal with verses 10 through 14. Verses 10 through 14. Before we begin this morning, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that each and every day you provide for our needs. And we acknowledge, Father, that today at this time we need your Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds, to enable us to understand and to believe your truth. As always, we pray that you protect us from error, and may your truth be honored and exalted here, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, the immediate context for verses 10 through 14 are verses chapter 3, 1 through 9. So let's look at those verses. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Verse 10. Now all who rely upon the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And so we see in verses 7 through 9 what it is that faith does to a person in terms of their standing before God. Now we're going to take a look at, in verses 10 and 11 and 12, what it is that works cannot do. What it is that works cannot do. And one of the things we're going to see here is that there is going to be a wall of separation built between faith and obedience. Separation between faith and obedience, or if you prefer, works, or works of the law. Now, there is something that both faith and obedience have in common, and that is, it is a person. Who engages in faith, who engages in obedience, or works of the law. In other words, faith has a subject, and obedience proceeds from a person. It also has a subject. So in a very, very broad sense, we can say that faith is something that is done, just like obedience is something that is done. However, having said that, the text is going to make a very, very important separation, distinction between faith that is done by a person and obedience or works of the law that is done by a person. And as we have seen many times before, the kind of faith that we are talking about here is that faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done, his life of obedience and his life of submission to God's law and his laying down of his life on the cross, the shedding of his blood. So, Christ and what he did. True faith involves, to put it briefly, trusting in Jesus Christ. And true faith is something, I'm running out of space, I won't go over here, but is described in the Bible as the gift of God. Right? It is a gift of God, Ephesians chapter 2. It's not something that is in and of the person so that the person could say, you know what? When you compare me with someone that doesn't have faith, I'm really a smart person, a wise person, a better person than the one that does not have faith. Okay? No. Faith is the gift of God to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. So faith here is a faith in Jesus Christ is a gift from God. The way of faith, we'll see in these verses, is completely different from the way of works or the way of obedience. The way of faith is the way of trust. The way of obedience is the way of action and confidence that that action that I perform will make me right with God. Questions? All right. Verse 10. For all who, many of your translations have it this way, are of the works of the law, are some of your translations, the one I'm using here, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. This is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 27. Quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 27. I am told, I've not taken the time to try to search this out, but I'm told that it was standard operating procedure among the Jews, those priests that were involved in punishing criminals, punishment manual of the Jews included the reading of chapter 27 of Deuteronomy when someone was being punished. That would include the scourging, that would include the stoning, whatever it was. And we know that Paul was arrested 5 times for preaching the gospel, and we're told in 2 Corinthians that he was scourged twice. 40 lashes minus one. And so during that whipping, during that beating, Deuteronomy, the latter part of Deuteronomy 27 was read, and I'm sure the Apostle Paul, it was pressed into his mind, the words which say, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So let's go over to Deuteronomy 27. And the setting here is the day they cross over the Jordan River. Half the nations will go on one side, be on a mountain, the other half, another side of a mountain, and the curses and the blessings are going to be read, and the people are going to hear these things. And so we'll begin our reading. Let's do it at verse 9. Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silent and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." That day Moses charged the people, saying, "When you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Elba for the curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice." And here we have all of those things that bring about curses. What is a curse? Well, in this sense, a curse is a judgment by God of wrongdoing and sentence of punishment. Judgment of wrongdoing and sentence to punishment. Verse 15, "Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of craftsmen, and is set up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's nakedness, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, whether the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say, Amen. And our verse that is quoted in verse 10 of Galatians 3, cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen. And so, that is where this comes from. So, for those who rely upon or choose to obey the works of the law are under a curse. Why is that? Well, I've been told that often in the rhetoric of this day, the kind of public reasoning that people would do to try to establish a point, that often obvious information is suppressed, or what might be called things which everybody know are going to be suppressed. They're not going to be added. And that is, I think, something that we have to see here. For all who rely on the works of the law are cursed. What's being suppressed here? The doctrine of total depravity. The doctrine that we are all sinners. The doctrine that nobody can obey 100% from the heart what God requires. And to have a description of this, we can go to Romans, where we see lots and lots of quotations from the Old Testament. Verse 9 of chapter 3, what then, are we Jews any better off? The Apostle Paul asks and answers, no, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. And here we have a number of quotations from the Old Testament. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless, no one does good, not even one, their throat is an open grave, they use their tongue to deceive, the venom of asps is under their lips, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And we could add other things here. And we could add other things. So the assumption that the Apostle Paul is working on is this, that those who rely upon the works of the law, they are going to be judged by God as guilty and sentenced to punishment as God because they haven't obeyed everything in the law. They can't obey everything in the law. Why? Because they're sinners. One man who comments on Galatians, I think, gives a true story where I guess it was a friend of his. I don't know for sure. Went to lunch with someone who thought he was pretty righteous and made the comment, you know, I haven't sinned in 20 years. I haven't sinned in 20 years. And then a new server, first day on the job, comes to deliver the food. And the food is off balance, slips off the tray, and the entire meal goes on this man's lap. And at the top of his voice, he curses this woman and her parents and the horse that she rode in on and was really, really nasty about it. And the man who's sitting there says, well, I guess your 20-year streak has ended. And he didn't have a whole lot to say about that, but it's just a matter of arrogance, a matter of deception, a matter of, I would say, stupidity for someone to think that they can obey from the heart perfectly everything that God requires. And Jesus deals with this. I'll not read it to you, but in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, there are a couple of several things that Jesus brings out here. He says, for example, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. And a lot of the Pharisees of this day, they say, hey, you know what? I'm good, right? I've never murdered anybody. And then Jesus goes on to explain what is involved in murder, right? But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, and then he deals with a number of other things. This matter of obedience is something that involves not just outward actions, but it involves things that take place in our minds. And so you drive in rush hour traffic in Phoenix, and someone thinks that you have cut them off. They look at you like they want to take your eyes out with an ice pick. And that is certainly a violation of God's standard that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're not to murder. We murder people in our hearts. We do all kinds of horrible, terrible things to each other in our hearts. And that is included in law. So, Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. If you're going to avoid this curse, if you're going to be someone who's going to rely upon your works, okay? Why do I think I'm right with God? Well, because of my obedience, my works of the law. That is what is going to make me right with God. God is going to declare me innocent and righteous. Then you've got to abide by everything. You've got to abide by everything. Who's done that? Now, some of the Jews of the day apparently thought that they have done that. Interesting that they would have confidence, even if they had been doing this all their life, that for the remainder of their life, they would never have a situation where somebody dumps food on them, right? But apparently they actually believed that. These were people who believed in self-righteousness. They are of the way of works. Well, the Apostle Paul here is saying that if you want to live this way, you're cursed. You're cursed because you're not going to obey all things written in the book of the law. Now, some question about the reference here to the book of the law. For a number of years, I've been upset with how people deal with the matter of law and some of the distinctions that people want to make. I've talked to you a little bit about this. I think this is a reference to the Mosaic Law. But the fact of the matter is, every creature, regardless of when or where they live, is required to obey whatever God commands. Whatever that might be. Whatever that might be. And the commands of God are law. They're not suggestion, they're not recommendation, they're not advice. They are things that must be done. Doesn't matter if it's easy, doesn't matter if it's hard. Doesn't matter if people around you are doing it or not doing it. Whatsoever God commands is law. Okay? And also, it's very plain from the Bible that there are basically two categories of law. The law that's for everybody and the law that's not for everyone. How can there be laws that are not for everyone? Well, that's really simple. That's really simple. We find in the New Testament the command, husbands, love your wives. No, not everybody has a wife, right? Not everybody has a wife. So the young people that I used to work with at school, when we would be going through Ephesians and other passages of the Bible, and they would deal with something like this, they would say, whew, something that I don't need to worry about. And I said, well, that's right. You don't need to worry about it now. Okay? You don't need to worry about it now. Jonah is commanded to go to Nineveh and preach, right? And again, I don't think, as far as I can tell, no one here today is under that command, right? Nineveh doesn't even exist. Noah was commanded to build an ark. And that was law to Noah, right? But I don't think it is law to everyone. But on the other hand, there are commands that are for everybody. There are commands that are for everybody. To correctly understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here, it's not critical that we identify exactly what he's talking about in making reference to the book of the law, although I think it is, the law of Moses. Okay, I think it's the law of Moses. Whatever command that God has placed upon you, if you think you can be right with God by obeying that command perfectly throughout your life, that's what he's talking about. People that have this attitude, all right? people that have this attitude. Now, if this is a reference book of the law, a reference to the Mosaic law, the Jews already got a problem. The Jews already got a problem. Those who believe that someone can be righteous by obeying those 613 plus commands that we find in the law of Moses. Why? Well, what's the time gap between Abraham, who is referred to as righteous because of his faith, or justified because of his faith, and the giving of the law?
Some 400 odd years.
Yeah, some say 500, some say 450, I don't know. You know, hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Okay? So some of the scribes and Pharisees are aware of this, and they're trying to say, well, maybe this law of Moses was really revealed to the patriarchs. Okay? Maybe Isaac, maybe Joseph. Maybe some of these guys had it revealed to them. Any biblical warrant for that? I don't think so. But when you're caught up with the idea that we are to be right with God by our obedience, then whatever that law that you need to be obedient to has got to be something that's going to go way back in time to all those people whom you think were right with God. Right? Yeah? So, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. Big, big, big statement. It is evident. In other words, it's something that if you have eyes to see, you should see this. We don't need to provide proof or justification. I mean, it's plain. It's clear. For those of us that have eyes to see, that have been blessed with eyes to see, you get ready to walk across the street and you turn to your right and there's a car coming. I mean, you don't need to have somebody prove to you that that car is there. I mean, it is evident, right? That's the force of this word evident here. He says it is evident. Evident what? That no one is justified, declared righteous by God, innocent of sin. There's no one justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. And this comes from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And there are a couple of positions about this. And I'm not sure what to say about it. I didn't take the time to really go into it. Habakkuk chapter 2, I'll begin reading at verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. Idea here is that those who are righteous are going to trust that their faith is what make them justified before God. Now, this could be a reference. This could be about, we have the Babylonians. God has used them to bring judgment upon the Assyrians. And the Babylonian people are very arrogant, puffed up folks. And this is a reference to them. They're not righteous. They can't be righteous because they do not live by faith.
could be that.
Or it could be that this is a reference to the people of God who are under still the oppression, the captivity of the Babylonians, and you have faith, you be patient, you wait. Okay? There will be this release. I don't know. Regardless of what is the correct interpretation of this, the Apostle Paul is going to use this three times in the New Testament. He is going to use it here in Galatians. He's going to use it in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 10 at verse 38. And he's going to use this as sort of the theme statement of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 at verse 16 and 17. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 1 at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now notice, we do not have written here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who obeys. But rather it is who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. We live in right relationship with God because of our faith. That is what justifies us. That is what brings peace between us and God. The way of faith is the way of trust. Trust in what or who? Trust in Jesus Christ. Trusting what He has done. Faith does have a person connected with it. True saving faith does have a person connected with it. And yes, the person is involved in the exercising of this faith. But it is not outward action. It is not obedience. It's not works or works of the law. And this faith in Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done, is described for us as the gift of God. So, going back to Galatians here. Now it is evident. I mean, there's just no doubt about it for those who have eyes to see. The righteous shall live by faith. If you want to try to live by your obedience, you're going to bring a curse on yourself. Well, you're already cursed, but you're going to bring a curse on yourself. How are you going to bring that curse on yourself? Well, you're not going to abide by all the things that are written in the law, right? You're not going to abide by all those things written on the law. And the Apostle Paul, I think, assumes here that he doesn't have to go through a long defense of the idea that we're all sinners. We are all sinners. And so, there's nobody that can do this. Now, what about if someone could do this? What about if someone could do this? And then we're going to have to get into the issue of, is there something wrong or flawed in the commands that God gives His people? I mean, if I were to go up to my youngest granddaughter, and she is, I think now, just turned 3 months old, and I command her, I'm not her father, but I command her, you understand and obey your father. And the father says, stop crying. Is that a fair command to place upon a 3-month-old baby? Is that fair?
No.
Somebody helping me out.
No.
I can't even understand. There's just noises out there. The three-month-old does, in fact, react to noise, but does not have the conceptual framework, the development for that, right? So, Mrs. Barth, when you have all three of them crying at the same time, which they do to you at 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock or whenever it is. during the day. Okay. So, I mean, if you as mom were to put the command upon them to cease and desist, quiet, go to sleep, is that fair? No, I don't think that's fair. But the commands of God to his creatures are always fair. They could not be otherwise. Why?
God is just.
Yeah, he is righteous. He is holy. Okay? And so we all, I hope, have realized when we look at what God requires of us, man, that's pretty tough to do it always, to do it perfectly. Man, that's tough. Every husband in here, you love your wife perfectly? Sean says he does. All right. Well, let's wait 20 years. No. Wives, you are to honor your husbands, right? You do that perfectly? I don't think so. So anyway, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But, and look at this right here, look at this 12, but the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. The one who does them shall live by them. That is a quote from Leviticus. That is a quote from Leviticus 18:5. And let's go to Leviticus 18:5. Leviticus 18:5. Pick it up at verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. So, why would the Apostle Paul quote this here? What do you think? What's the point of quoting this? But law is not of faith.
You get paid for performance.
Yep. The one who does them shall live by them. If this is the way you're going to choose, then this is what you're going to live by, and this is not the way of faith. And as was previously indicated, this is doomed to failure, and this is the way that God makes people right with him. Okay? Now again, both obedience and faith, they're something that a person does, right? In this sense, they are both human activities, but they are different kinds of activities. One is trust, the other is action. The trust is trust in Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did, which is the gift of God. The other, action, is based upon a person relying upon themselves, thinking that they can, by being obedient to whatsoever God commands, be declared by God righteous. Apostle Paul in Romans says, faith is the end of the law or righteousness. He does not say that law disappears and people are relieved from the responsibility of being obedient to God, but what he says concerning your relationship with God, your standing with God, being declared by God innocent, that's a matter of faith. It's not a matter of obedience. Okay? The problem has never been that God's law is unfair. The problem has always been sinful hearts are unable, unwilling, to obey God's law completely. The law is not given to do us good directly, but it is given to do us good indirectly. How so? The law is given to show us, man, you're in serious trouble. You in serious trouble. And there's nothing you can do about it. But now Jesus Christ, as we're going to read here, is going to do something about it. Jesus Christ is going to do something about it. Do something about this serious trouble that people are in. And here we have, in the upcoming verses, Jesus being the one who ransoms those who are slaves to sin, the one who becomes sin for His people, and the one who is cursed by God, and the one who dies. And what is interesting about a lot of Jews, when they took a look at Jesus, and we'll get into this, God willing, next time. I think I'm here next time. When the Jews and the disciples, the apostles, they went out of their way to emphasize that Jesus is cursed by God. He's cursed by God. And in the mind of a Jew, how can we have a Messiah that is damned by God, that is cursed by God? How can a Messiah be cursed? And the answer is very simple. Not by anything that he personally did, but by having the sins of his people placed on him. And when God pours out his wrath on Jesus, he is pouring out his wrath that Abraham should have experienced, that the Apostle Paul should have experienced, that each and every one of us should experience who are living faith, the life of faith, trusting in Jesus, what he has done, and realizing that that trust is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay? and we are out of time. And we didn't make it through verse 14. All right, we pray. Father, we thank you for what we have read. Help us, Father, to be people of faith. Help us, Father, to be truly thankful for the gift of faith. Help us, Father, to be truly thankful for what Jesus Christ did so that his people could be at peace with Almighty God and justified by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.